Movie film. Is it a movie? Or a film? Is it a movie? Great movie. Or a film? Fascinating. Is it a movie? Love that movie. Haven't heard of that. Is it a movie? My favorite movie. I'm a bit of a cinephile.
Hey, MFers, welcome back to another episode of Movie Film.
It's the podcast where we pick a flick and decide if it's a movie or a film.
Every other week.
I'm Nate, and drink the nourishment that Gaia is feeding me through her cloud teats.
And I'm Terrell, and I was born in a hospital.
And I'm Danny. Surely you can't be serious.
That could be from anywhere.
Should I say it again?
No, that's from Airplane.
Correct.
That's from Barb and Star Go to Vista Del Mar.
Yep.
My quote was bad because I forgot a quote, so this is our second time doing this.
What is your quote?
This is from Wanderlust, another David Wayne picture, because we're doing Wet Hot American Summer.
Ooh.
And Danny, you're here.
I'm here.
My friend Danny from camp.
Hello.
How did you guess mines?
We watched Barb and Star.
Yeah, but
recently.
Like,
you can hear about it on the rundown at patreon.com/moviefilmpod, which Danny, you were on that this week.
That's a great plug. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for that one.
Try to keep it organic.
That was my first ever podcast appearance, and this is my second.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah, you're not new to this at this point.
Yeah, I'm a seasoned grizzled veteran.
You're a professional.
So yeah, subscribe to our Patreon if you want to hear Danny's first time on a podcast.
Yeah, that's a great selling point. You can hear more of this voice. And
you're a virgin podcaster at patreon.com/moviefilm.
It'll be like this, but more rambly and worse. But just for me, worse. The two hosts are they're on point. They're great.
Oh, thank you.
Excellent work.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pleasure to be here. Happy to be across the city here in South Philly when I'm hailing from West Philly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Came a long way to get here today.
Oh yeah, a real schlep.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nice little Yiddish word, and which is also a good connection for our film today, or is it our movie today?
Ooh, what is it?
We'll find out at the end.
Yeah, I guess we'll ask that question.
Let's jump into it with the trailer for Wet Hot American Summer.
This summer, take a trip back to 1981 with the special people who made summer camp unforgettable.
You guys aren't supposed to be out of your bunks. You're in trouble.
The camp director.
Four campers are stuck in the ropes course. I meant to tell you about that yesterday. Could you get to it now?
The counselors.
Wait for me, Abby Bernstein. Wait for me, my darling.
Wait. Last one, take off my shirt.
The kitchen staff.
Finish up the taters. I'm going to go fondle my sweaters.
Come on, what? You said you were going to go fondle your sweaters.
No, I didn't.
The water sports.
Hey, Andy, can I take out the Barbie bus?
Sure.
The nature hikes.
Out! Out!
And of course, who can forget the sex, the muggings, the cover-ups, the malaria, the psychotherapy.
Hello.
And the friendships that last a lifetime.
We want you to be the guest of honor at our wedding next week.
From USA Films and creators of TV's The State.
A renegade piece of Skylab heading right for the camp.
Oh my God.
It could kill us all.
Janine Garofalo, David Hyde Pierce, Paul Rudd, Christopher Maloney, and Molly Shannon.
Andy, have you seen my swimming buddy?
I was busy.
It's your job to make sure kids don't drown.
Where are we going?
To a big secret pizza party.
Wet, Hot American Summer.
Wet Hot American Summer is a 2001 American satirical comedy directed by David Wayne from a screenplay written by Wayne and Michael Showalter. It features a lot of the cast from the sketch group The State. It's a summer camp spoof.
Mm-hmm. Now, who picked this? Who pick was this?
Who pick was this, Nate?
It was mine.
It was yours?
You didn't know if it was your pick?
No, it's not my pick. Why would it be my pick? It's definitely not my pick. It's either one of yours pick.
Oh, it's my week. Yeah, I picked it.
Okay, I thought Danny might have picked it because he's on here.
Oh, okay.
Very fair. I think what happened was Nate realized that he went to camp with me.
Right.
That's true.
For 9 years. So
9 years of camp.
When thinking about movies to watch with me, he thought, oh, camp, because that's a movie.
You've wanted to be on this podcast since you heard I had a podcast.
That's 100% true.
Yeah.
But
it's a movie podcast, and I don't really know you as like a movie person.
Well, it may become very clear during the course of this podcast that I'm not exactly a movie buff. But
maybe you're a film
movies.
Person, though. I don't know.
I mean, that's yet to be seen.
I've definitely watched this one more than one time with you, though, which is why I picked it. Because I know you've seen this one.
And I was an eager participant. I have seen this before, and we saw it today. And you know what? It bears rewatching. It is a fucking fun time.
Yeah, true.
Nice. So camp... 9 years? So, like, what, first to, like...
We were campers together, counselors together.
First grade to, like, ninth grade.
Counselors in training together.
That's right. CITS. It's a wonderful acronym.
Yep.
You know, at one point during the movie or film, someone mentions, I've been in love with you since my first year at camp when I was 10 years old. And, or that's probably a misquote, but my first year at camp was when I was 10 years old.
Same.
Yeah, we started at 10... And I lasted until I think I was 18 or turning 18.
Mm-hmm.
It's a long time.
It's a long time. Same camp?
Same camp, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Camp Pine Mere.
Camp Pine Mere in the Poconos.
Shout out to the camp.
That's the official pronunciation.
Before we, before we get into the weeds.
Into the weeds. That's a camp
we like
thing.
To do a, I like to do a segment called Crew Love, where I give little shouts out to members of the crew who have worked on other movies that we've or films that we've covered on the podcast, because you know, these actors are familiar, we know them, but did you know that the co-composer Theodore Shapiro also did the score for The Devil Wears Prada?
Mm.
And The Invitation, two very different movies.
Wow, range.
I believe we called The Devil Wears Prada a movie and The Invitation a film.
Film, yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see if Theodore Shapiro's third movie or film is a movie or a film.
Here we go.
It's late. It's been a long day. We recorded the rundown a few hours ago. All right. Oh, and again, before we get into it, I do have this very long list of alternate titles. I love the title Wet Hot American Summer.
I'll just say before Nate jumps into this list.
I'm not going to read the whole list.
And it's probably for the best because it's a lot. And there's absolutely no way that every single name on that list was honestly and truly considered for the title, because it does look like a kind of like a late night drunken writer's room rant.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some phenomenal ones on there. So I think you should look it up if you want to dig around for just, you know, like three dozen ridiculous names. But I feel like Nate's got a couple of favorites.
Well, my real favorite isn't like raunchy. It's just Bug Juice 81.
Mm, that's good.
Bug Juice is what campers call fruit punch.
Mm-hmm.
We called it Bug Juice.
Maybe 81 was the formula.
No, 81, like 1981, is a period comedy.
A period piece.
It is. It's set in 81, even though it was filmed in 90s.
They make a lot of references to a comedian. Is it Ruth Buzzy?
Yeah.
Who is Ruth Buzzy?
I have no idea. Might not even be real.
Hmm.
Counselors and Cancers. Damp Vagina Camp, the Big American Love Wedgie.
It's not bad.
Ankle Bites the Movie. Postcards from the Cot. Welcome Home Cot.
They're really fixated on Cot, huh?
Bring a Chance of Underwear.
Bring a Change of Underwear.
Bring a Change of Underwear.
That was going to be the name of Paul Rudd's character's novel, or his memoir, rather. Bring a Change of Underwear.
General Swim. Sex Flies and a Videotape of a Kid Masturbating. And Boner Camp. Okay. Wet Hot American Summer begins with the fireside party. Opening credits. Some rock and roll. And I like that the guitarist at the party is an acoustic guitar, and you get the guitar solo and he does that.
The first of
And so
many
begins
visual
me
gags.
Listing off jokes.
Well, this I think is the visual guys kind of get their own category, and this one is where you get your like your diegetic, non-diegetic switch, and that's fun.
Thanks for helping me intellectualize what will just be a list of jokes from this movie or film.
I need for your audience to know that I took one film class in college.
So you know about.
You know about.
It's very important that your audience knows that I took one film class in college and one in high school.
Two film classes.
Two.
So it was a follow-up to your education.
I went to college for film.
I just like the style of the opening credits where it's these freeze frames that fade to black. It's a vibe.
This supposedly was Bradley Cooper's first film?
Yes.
His first time on the silver screen?
It was my first time seeing him, I think.
Which is to say that his...
I think I saw this before I knew who Bradley Cooper was.
Yeah, me too.
For sure. I remember being like, whoa, Paul Rudd's so young. That was like the big one.
That means that Bradley Cooper's first screen time is just him dodging a kiss from Amy Poehler, which I think is great.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one. There's good character setups in this, where we get that dynamic. We get the Paul Rudd, the Katie and Andy romance.
Bradley Cooper is also a local figure. He's from Jenkintown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You get just great dancing from Elizabeth Banks. Just A plus. David Wayne chooses the freeze frame of Elizabeth Banks' hips for his directed by car. Definitely a first movie from him. I forgot that it ended the way it did. It's a bad ending.
Yeah.
We'll get to that at the end, though.
Okay.
Yeah, no spoilers.
So it's August 18th, 1981, last day of camp. It's one of those day in the life pictures. Start out with the rustling sheets and the kids running out of the cabin, and then we see that it's all the kids running out of all the cabins.
Because
they were all fooling around.
Yeah, they spent the night and, making out.
Yeah, and cuddled.
Yeah, punctuated by Janine Garofalo's passive admonishment. Go back to your bunks.
She seems
not supposed to be out of your bunks.
Yeah, she's so over it.
Yeah.
But it was the best summer of her life.
Yeah.
We learned it was the best summer of her life.
True. Without a doubt.
Without a doubt.
Then we meet Coop Cooperberg, I think is his name. Coop Cooperberg. He gets woken up by his bunk, and that's just opposed with Katie's bunk getting set up. They're all putting on makeup. Because these are our leads. This is the romance that I guess is supposed to hold together the plot of Wet Hot American Summer.
Yeah, don't look too hard for like a really important through line in a plot. It's like it's very kind of a collage that is.
It is a collage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, we are introduced to David Hyde Pierce's character with like a mug thing of people like him and Beth, Janine Garofalo's character, the director, like cheersing each other from across the way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we get a nice establishment of their repartee.
Just real goofy.
It's goofy.
Real awkward.
They don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And then we hear the voice of Sam Levine as the camp DJ, because this is like every great one day in the life picture. It's tied together by voiceover from a DJ. In this case, it's Sam Levine, which is actually voiceover, because when we do eventually see the character, it's not the actor Sam Levine, because they recast him. Apparently he was really bad, like his voice.
Oh man. Oh.
Or like he didn't have like a voice for radio, so they don't know why that was part of the joke when they cast him, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But then they realized it didn't work for like the movie.
Is Sam Levine somebody famous? Should I know who Sam Levine is?
He's on Freaks and Geeks. He's in Not Another Teen Movie.
Okay. That's famous.
He's in some things.
Famous for a minute. 15 at least.
Yeah. Flagpole. That's how we started every morning at Pinemere. And that's how they do it at Camp Firewood.
True to form.
Katie and Andy have a very disgusting kiss while Coop watches.
Terrell, what do you think about the public displays of affection in this film or movie?
I thought it was funny and just like over the top.
So we're seeing a lot of it. There's a lot of just like really aggressive
kind of sloppy thing
happening in public, and
especially Andy. Yeah.
I think it's just one way in which the sort of the reality of camp life deviates from the depiction on film, is that you wouldn't be doing that. I guess it's comedy. I mean,
I watched people make out at camp.
But in broad daylight?
In front of everyone?
And away
in
from
in front of everyone, but at nighttime.
And away from the bridge.
No, it was on the bridge. I watched people make out on the bridge.
There was a make out bridge?
So we had dances every week, like the older kids. Every week they let us every have a week. Dance.
Okay.
And when you're leaving the dance, you have to cross over the small wooden bridge. And it's called bridging because that's the only time you're allowed to make out is in front of the counselors while they count to three.
I think it was 10.
That's so
was
awkward.
Was it
10?
I think it was 10.
Oh, I don't know.
You had a 10-second kiss?
I mean...
I think it was 5.
Well, whatever it was, is that it couldn't really contain you to only the bridge. If you were clever, you would go...
Oh, you would kiss before the bridge.
If you were clever or horny enough, you would go...
Sneak behind arts and crafts.
Behind farts and crafts?
Yeah.
Arts and farts and crafts.
Farts and farts and crafts.
It's another spoiler. Joke spoiler.
If you've never seen Wet Hot American Summer and you're listening to this podcast, why?
This would be a good walkthrough.
Yeah, I guess so.
I enjoy the walkthroughs. That's why I like this podcast.
That's true. That's why my mom likes it. Mom, I think you've seen this one, though. I think I've probably made you watch it.
Shout out.
She's listening.
Shout out Nate's mom.
Yeah, she's listening.
Great.
And I just like the way Michael Showalter plays Coop. Just so awkward, especially in the scene. He's like full, like... His whole arm is inside his sleeve. Like, that's how awkward he is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's just like a hermit crab or something.
Right. That's a really good depiction of him. Yeah. And by the end, he gets a new shell. Mm-hmm. Or he comes out
or
of his shell.
Out of the show, yeah. We meet Victor Kulak, played by Ken Marino with a perm.
Yeah, he's
the crazed virgin.
Yeah, I wrote, he's the fuck guy.
Yeah.
Because everything is like, fuck. Like, she wants to fuck me. I want to fuck her.
Yeah.
Everything is, yeah.
He's the Todd of Wet Hot American Summer from Scrubs.
Okay. Yeah.
I watched that show around the same time I watched this movie, so maybe.
They very are much the same character.
Their wardrobe was kind of the same.
Yeah.
Very, very tight shirts.
Yeah. Really sleeveless. Yeah.
Seemed to derive a lot of their confidence from their pecs. That's the Todd reference when he stands in front of the mirror and just flexes his pecs. Mm. This is how the Todd gets his self-esteem on.
We get to actually meet the professor and Garofalo. Professor, by the way, played by David Hyde Pierce.
He's just
funny
a champ.
Performance, yeah. There's this running gag talking about noises. This would be non-diegetic. The sound effect of glass bottles breaking. And it's introduced in this scene where David Hyde Pierce tosses something off screen, so we hear the noise of bottles breaking. Then that scene ends with the same sound repeated. Then the next scene opens in the cafeteria with the same sound, this time being like plates that are dropped in the back. They use the same sound effect 3 times, like so quickly.
I guess there's an argument that it's in fact diegetic, that the people on screen are hearing it also, but they're just not reacting at all. I don't know. But it's mostly for us.
Yeah. Just like watching this at an early age, a lot of the humor does like get you more interested in like movies, right? Because it gets you thinking about, oh, like they add the sound effects later, that's how it works.
And they're breaking the fourth wall like more than once
by
in a
like
movie.
By like playing with the form, it lets you realize what the form is in other movies, so that's interesting. In the cafeteria, we obviously meet Christopher Maloney's character, the
Jean.
Cook. Yep.
Yeah, so they're having breakfast at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So we're only at like 8 a.m.
Yeah.
And already a lot has happened.
Yep.
And Gene's thing is...
He's a Vietnam vet.
He's a Vietnam vet, and he's very wound tight. but he has like these slip ups where by the end of what he's saying, he says something really weird and you just go, wait, what? What did you say? And he says, I said something that rhymes with what I said.
Yeah, that's
a perfect description.
Yeah.
Yep.
And the first one, I don't know if Nate, you were taking note of in order.
No.
But I found myself writing down these quips, but also remembering that these were like kind of top of mind whenever people would quote this movie growing up.
Fondle My Sweaters was a big one.
For some reason, the first one always came to mind was Dick Cream. Did you just say Dick Cream?
No.
Stick Team. And I just, Stick Team, just that always, that's always stuck in my head as a wonderful phrase.
Stick Team.
Stick Team. You know, stick, like the stickball team. Yeah.
So in that scene between the camp director and the astrophysics professor, she asks him to come into camp and help the indoor kids. So he comes into breakfast and meets the indoor kids.
Yeah, after yelling no.
Yeah, right, after refusing. We meet the first indoor kid in this funny scene where he's like trying to hit on the girls in, I don't know, bunk C or something.
Yeah. He's a game dungeon.
He's a dungeon master.
Yeah, he's a dungeon master with terrible game.
He's got a towel cape, which is a look that you probably wore at some time.
Yeah, I mean, almost everything feels like something that did happen at Pioneer.
Which is ridiculous because it's ridiculous.
Right, but it's all based in a kind of a tight reality of camp. Those 7 weeks, a lot of this happens. Not usually in one day, though.
Yeah, it's definitely clear that the people behind this definitely went to summer camp.
And when we started camp in 2003, that was sort of at the end of the road for Dungeons and Dragons. Like that was, people were playing that still.
Yeah, it was one of the hobbies they offered.
Shout out Jeremy Michaels, who was the person who brought that to camp. It's a counselor who taught everyone how to play.
We meet Amy Poehler and Bradley Cooper's characters formally as Ben and Susie. They come into breakfast to announce auditions for during the talent show. They're directing, co-producing, choreographing a number from Godspell.
Mm-hmm.
Day by day.
Have either of you seen Godspell?
I was in a production of Godspell.
Oh.
I love that musical.
What was your role? Did you sing Day by Day?
I did. Oh. I did. I mean, I wasn't like the lead because it's a woman song, but I sang On the Willows. I took lead on The Willows, if that song.
I do not.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I like how you're like engaging, like, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
It's just cool. I don't know.
Yeah. So yeah, when that number popped up, I was definitely like mouthing along.
That's funny.
Yeah.
I had to sing Day by Day in my high school choir once, but I don't know Godspell. I only knew that song. I was like, oh, it's the Christianity song from Wet Hot American Summer.
Yeah, it's so groovy.
Nate, weren't you also a part of the camp drama productions?
Yeah, but we obviously didn't do Godspell because it's a Jewish summer camp.
And you also obviously didn't do everything on the last day.
Right. Well, in the Netflix prequel series, they put on a whole production.
That's right.
In the first day of camp. Morning activities. There's a montage. Some good visual comedy. Victor and Neil's side plot is Victor wants to get laid, but they have to take the kids rafting.
This is Ken Marino and Joe Truglio?
Yep.
Is that how you say his name?
Truglio.
Boyle.
Yeah, so it's basically certainly in the same universe, Ken Marino becomes the not very finessed boss in Party Down. Kind of the same.
Ron Donald.
Ken Marino as Ron Donald. This is his origin story. Mm. And I think this is Boyle's origin story too in Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yeah, I see it's that. Similar. Yeah. And the way, like, he depends on his friend, and he's all about his friend. Yeah.
This is where we've now, like, they're about to leave, but Abby comes up, and she wants to make out with Victor. Yeah. All the way. She grabs his crotch and he floats off the ground.
She lifts him up by the crotch. That's so funny. Yeah, like crotch lifts are like ridiculous.
It's like a cartoon character smelling pie.
Yeah.
Just floating.
Yeah. But instead of pie, it's pussy.
Mm-hmm. Instead of pie, it's pussy.
Yeah.
I want to say hi to my mom again.
I said that real low.
Now we see the face of the beekeeper, which is what the radio guy calls him. Yeah, it's not Sam Levine's face.
Mm-hmm.
This kid hasn't showered. That's his thing.
Yeah. Did you guys have kids like that?
Oh, I think so. I think that was the thing.
Fortunately, not as a counselor. That would have been hard to deal with.
Yeah, I didn't have to deal with that as a counselor, and I certainly did shower. And I think showering at camp probably wasn't super fun for a lot of kids.
No.
I think the more comical and version of this that I was more aware of, but is also not that funny, is that people just who wouldn't shit, they would shit like as few times as possible the whole summer.
But,
and that could be like as few as like twice in 4 weeks. I mean, again, not my thing, but
right.
You know, it's kind of public knowledge, as is everything at camp.
Right. Oh, man. What a choice to make.
Well, sometimes not a choice.
You know, yeah. Yeah, sometimes, fright. Yeah, you can't.
You get stage fright.
You can't perform.
Yeah. And they take you to the health center and they give you milk of magnesia.
Right.
Which I still don't know what that is, but I can surmise what
and
it does.
And you get to use like the good toilet at the health center. Yeah,
with the air conditioning.
And really wreck it with four weeks worth of summer camp mess hall creations.
And that poor, poor plumbing.
Mm.
Now we get the scene that sets up the second Netflix series that was made from this. Really crazy that this like little scene picture spawned two Netflix series. I guess everyone in it is now.
I feel like we skipped
famous over
Gail. And that little storyline.
Yeah, we might have been introduced to Gail.
Yeah, Gail, the like art teacher who's like going through a divorce, and the kids are like helping her through it. The kids are like the grown ups in the room, and the grown up is the crybaby.
Yeah.
Yeah, she gets some really meaningful, heartfelt, and mature guidance from a bunch of, I don't know, 9 or 10 year olds.
Yeah. It develops very, very, it's weird, but it's also funny to see it develop between her and the kid, and you're just like, wait, what is happening?
Yeah, and I think by the end, you're not that surprised by the turn it takes.
Yeah.
Just in the scene where they're making the plans to meet in 10 years, like this is where we're reminded as audience members that the characters we're seeing are playing teenagers.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Because McKinley mentions in 10 years they'll be in their late 20s, even though all these actors are in their late 20s.
And by the time they do it, they're in their late 40s.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. The joke kind of doubles back onto itself later in these series spinoffs when they're...
Some of the backstories they give these characters, like watching the movie now, because I did rewatch the first day of camp series, and I'm working my way now through the 10 years later series. Like that the character of Abby started out as a camper on the first day of camp, but then got her period, and now she's a counselor.
Yeah.
Lindsay's an undercover journalist that then decided to just be a counselor.
Yeah.
I prefer that one to the Abby storyline because there's less pedophilia. They're definitely
playing
to that a
little
bit.
Well, the Abby one changes the joke at the end where she's making out with the camper.
Yes, it does.
Because... I mean, we can just go through it because it's not a plot-driven, it's a movie.
We're jumping around.
I'm just going to call it a movie.
Wow. Spoiler.
It's not a plot-driven movie.
Yeah, it's kind of hard not to jump around when talking about this movie.
It's a movie.
It's a movie.
We'll get to why, but I'm going to say movie on this one. Abby's making out with the kid because there's a joke that Victor wants to make out with her or get with her, and she's getting with everyone else, including campers, at the end.
Mm-hmm.
But the prequel series makes her start out as a camper, so it like reverses that.
That's right.
But then makes the other stuff, I don't know. It's surrealist comedy. Get with it.
A seminal surrealist comedy, I think, in the early aughts.
It's a really great setup, though. I wonder if they had any of like that in mind, but like that scene just feels like the perfect setup.
Oh, there's a callback to it in the end credit sequence that I didn't wait for because it's late right now.
And McKinley being like, I got something at 11.
Right.
10 years in the future has something at 11. And they actually do it in the series too. He does have something at 11.
Yeah. I'll show you the end credit sequence.
I'll just say one more comment on that, that concept. That moment where they're on the stoop and they're talking about the 10 years and the you know, make your beeswax be on time.
Yeah.
That's probably the most copied and parodied and mimicked thing of the whole movie. Like every group I've ever been in which every member of that group has seen this movie.
That, in the morning so we can make a day of it.
Yeah. That whole, that has to get run through at least once or, you know, the day's not over. The hang's not over.
I tried and kind of failed to reference it in our group text the other day when I said, that the cheesesteaks were more of a 9:30 thing.
And that was a...
I thought someone else was going to come in and then like connect the dots, but no one did.
So sorry. That's a group text with 13 other camp friends.
Yep. So Gail's scene ends with her crying and then it cuts back later to her still crying in the next Gail scene. I like that. Oh, we talked about the surrealist comedy, but there's also just some great physical comedy, like Paul Rudd being asked to pick up a plate.
Yeah.
Like, it's the absolute, like, worst. Hardest chore, like, most laborious just, act. Takes every, like, fiber of his body, like, so much effort to pick up a fork off the ground.
Yeah, the amount of resentment that he infuses into that move, it's really just beautiful. I mean, it's actually it's wonderful physical acting.
I like you can watch this and you see why he's, I guess, no, a lot of them are very, very, very famous.
Yes,
I
can't even say that he's the most famous now.
It's a bunch of A-list celebrities.
He's not even the only Marvel superhero because Bradley Cooper's the raccoon.
Yeah
Maybe a little bit less physical comedy going on there for an animated raccoon.
Yeah. I like Bradley Cooper's performance as Rocket Raccoon, though. Mm. Very underrated.
Yeah.
And that's coming from someone who quit Marvel.
Can't quit your memories, though.
Yeah.
Hey.
He's got some fond ones.
Yeah.
Andy's a lifeguard, and he's not a very good one. and he's not a very good boyfriend either, even though he's dating Katie. He's into Lindsay, and JJ, he's like talking to JJ about how hot Lindsay is, and he doesn't care that he's dating Katie. So then JJ jumps off the platform, like belly flops off. That's his exit from the scene.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, time to go.
And he doesn't come back up. Like,
he's fully clothed.
Away.
He's fully clothed.
Right.
Yeah.
And then Lindsay just takes his spot, swims up and takes his spot.
Mm-hmm.
And they start making out.
They start making
while
out.
While they do so, a child drowns.
Yeah.
And the other child, because swim buddies, that's a system, tried and true.
The buddy system.
Yeah. Can't find his buddy. So, got to cover it up. So, we cut to him being tossed out of the side of a van.
Mm-hmm.
And you said originally he was going to be murdered?
Yeah. This is a fun fact. Not so fun, maybe. That in the original David Wayne script, he has it that Paul Rudd is murdering this camper to cover up for the drowning of the first camper. Hmm. But David Wayne's father threatened to disown him if he kept that in the script.
I don't know. When I originally saw it, I was kind of upset by the drowning. I was just like, that's not funny.
Hmm.
A lot of campers die in this or come close to death.
Yep.
There's a line at one point. So many of these things are non sequiturs, so it's for us to jump around just feels natural. Where Beth, the director, references at their meeting there's I meant to go over this yesterday, but there are two kids caught in the lower ropes course, and someone go fish them out.
Zip line or something.
Someone go fish them out.
Yeah.
Beth and Katie are gonna talk about how to wear on a date. Pants?
No pants.
Oh, so slacks?
No.
So she's gonna go into town to get some stuff. And if Beth's going into town, everyone's going into
town. My favorite skit.
This is the best part.
Yeah.
I think this is one of the finest scenes in all of cinema.
So maybe it is a film.
Because, you're just like...
So even before the truck leaves, you have the nurse coming up to Beth and saying, when you're out in town, can you make sure to get some lube for my pussy? Like, she whisper shouts, for my pussy.
Yeah.
That's good. And they hop in the Then you get truck. This amazing montage. I wrote down the progression see. They get into town. First, they start eating fast food. Not great for you.
Not really eating either. Kind of like just like shaking the fries and chewing some same time.
They're very excited. And just to paint the picture, they're in like a small town in like rural Maine.
Yeah.
It's there's a few stores.
Goes fast food to cigarettes to, hey, I scored. Yeah, we got the liquor.
That's my favorite visual gag. He has the beer behind his back and he has like a pout. Yeah. And everyone's like, oh no. And then he goes, ah, yeah.
And then it goes to them smoking weed, to a Coke deal, to a drug deal, and like testing it out, then mugging an old woman.
Mugging the old woman.
Including like Beth.
Yeah, Beth is doing the punching.
Yeah, the director goes right for her gut.
And then, of course, we end in a heroin den.
Yeah. Where like they're all strung out.
Very twitchy. Amy Poehler and Katie looks to be like, completely passed
out. In a coma.
The dealer from before is there.
Yeah. It goes real bad.
And then they get back to camp and you get the line, like, it's always great to be at a camp, even if it's just for a couple, like...
Even if it's just for an hour. And so we just watch them, you know, their lives come and go, and they're back, and...
They're fine. They've recovered and everything.
And the whole thing ends with one of my favorites is the blocking of... They get off the truck, and all the guys are just standing up against a wall. And then Coop says, hey, guys, wait up, and then joins them to just...
Stand
against a wall, because what do characters do when they... And get out of scenes. Who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, in plays, they do just stand up against walls. It's just on the other side.
They're not usually looking at the wall.
Hmm.
In this case, they're
looking. True.
And someone mentioned it may be a Blair Witch Project reference, but...
Kind of weird.
I don't know which one.
I mean, it is
first.
A camp movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
Was that in the zeitgeist?
And that was like a Woods thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. Now Gene's going to fondle his sweaters.
The Blair Witch Project came out in 1999, so that was a couple years before. It could have been on people's minds, that kind of blocking, that weirdness.
Yeah, it's definitely
for a 2001 movie to be referencing a 1999 movie, I think that's possible.
I like that less, though. I thought it was just like this nonsense. Like
It is kind of nonsense.
It's referential nonsense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I guess that's not as nonsense.
That's a reference.
That's some sense.
Mm-hmm. Sorry. But they have no reason to be doing it.
They have no reason to be
doing
it.
It seems really random.
Maybe they are consciously in... Oh, no, that wouldn't have come out yet. It was in 1981, so they're about, 18 years early.
We get a sad layer to the Artie, alias the beekeeper, when we see that his radio equipment isn't even plugged in.
Oh yeah.
Still refusing to shower. Back at Arts and Farts and Crafts. The main kid that is giving Gail all the advice says, guys can be real, and excuse the Yiddish, insensitive schmucks. And it's just all the other kids just
nodding,
like, those knowing nods, like
I'd say that's one of my favorite things in this movie is the reaction shots from just like campers who weren't kind of first tier, they're all sort of just featured extras with no lines, but they get these just great, like, meaningful reaction shots of them being so into whatever's going on. It's great.
Yeah. And this is when he gives her a massage and she goes, oh, wow, your hands are like magic.
Victor and Neil get to, they get their kids to the river and Victor ditches Neil and the kids.
And then Neil ditches the kids mid-raft.
He says, guys, wait right here while they're on a raft.
Because Victor's the only one who can navigate these waters.
We're going to die without him. You're right. I'm going to go get him.
This Victor is how they teach you how to counsel.
Gets in the car to start driving back to camp to hook up with Abby, but like immediately crashes the car.
And like, it's not even like the way he's swerving, like you're thinking maybe something's in the middle of the road, but he drives straight into a tree.
It's a good goof. He all of a sudden goes, and then like,
he's just busy singing a song.
He's singing that song, which is then the same song that's playing on the radio in the bunk where Abby's waiting for him to come in. But Gary steps in with the chewing gum.
And then they start to make out.
That song is Chain of Love.
Oh.
Chain of Love.
They're making out and Victor is crying out post-crash. Wait for me, Abby. Wait for me.
Now we have the secret handshake. Let's get McKinley laid.
Yeah.
JJ and Gary are the creeps. I guess this is a Porky's reference. This is the camp movie I grew up with. Like, I didn't see Meatballs or Heavyweights or Porky's or any of the other camp movies, so I don't know. I'm looking at you.
I've seen some of those movies, and they're all borrowing from the same material. Yeah. So I guess there are creeps at camp. I don't know if that was a real archetype. I don't think you couldn't get away with that, at least at our camp, just like creeping around.
Yeah, they're watching the girls change, and McKinley's not interested. He slinks away. JJ McKinley say he must be gay. Let's get him laid.
I think there's one line there that I love where they're creepily watching these ladies just like swim. They'll
throw the ball.
And just throw the ball. Yes.
I like this joke about McKinley being like, yeah, he's gay and in love. And the joke is that it's a passionate, loving relationship and everyone's accepting of it. Like everything else is so subversive. And it's the opposite of what you would think. And this is that because you would think it wouldn't be a supportive environment or loving. I don't know. But just that can be. It's like the only.
There's some earnestness about
it's it's the only sincere thing in the whole movie is Ben and McKinley's love.
Yeah. Everyone's on board.
It's very sweet.
Yeah. It's the only sex scene.
It's the only sex scene.
Passionate sex scene.
That sex scene in a sporting equipment shed.
Sports closet.
That is very much on brand for summer camp. That's a thing that happens.
Mm-hmm. You were on the sports staff?
When I was 17, I was one of the soccer guys.
Yeah, so you probably had access to that.
I don't remember if that was a viable option for me.
Okay.
the shed.
I was just wondering.
1:30 p.m. Ben and McKinley get married. They have sex and then get married.
Right before that's the softball game. Big climactic sports scene, but Coop gives the whole inspiring speech and then says, what do you say? And then what they say is, I don't know, kind of well-worn material, really trite. And then Camp Tiger Claw bus comes, he runs over. The other guy says, yeah, I get it. It's pretty hack. So they just call the game off.
Yeah, inter camp sports just called off on an account of we've done this before.
Yep, like I said, they had no new jokes to make about sports. And then the beautiful wedding. How would you even describe what they were wearing? It was like gowns, but like.
It's very like
patterned
and like
textiles.
Yeah. felt very...
Susie playing a pan flute.
They had like lays on or just like flower head pieces. Yeah. And getting
Beth
married in water. Yeah.
Coop was there as reference. It's nice that he was part of that, I guess.
He was the witness.
Yep. There's a kid that acts like a robot.
Steve.
He went the whole summer without friends. So Beth is adding him to the talent show so he can end the summer on a good note.
That guy has made a career of playing awkward. Really cool. Yeah.
I love Amy Poehler just freaking out that Beth's ruining the talent show.
All right.
Just her whole, like, taking camp theater so seriously.
So serious.
Her energy is something else. Not to jump ahead too far, but just the thing that she says right as the day by day chorus comes on.
These campers suck.
Yeah, the disclaimer the she has to give.
The campers you're about to see suck dick.
But, you know, like, you know.
Enjoy.
Enjoy.
Then we do end up getting like a sports sequence with the capture the flag game. The big gag being like Usain Bolt comes to play.
Is that?
Well, it's before Usain Bolt.
It's way before. I don't get this reference. What is this reference?
I think the national sport of Jamaica is track and field. So there have always been very fast track and field stars from Jamaica, and this was just like a pre Usain Bolt. You know, archetype fast guy
right.
who picked up the flag and ran away from all these, you know, short white Jews.
Right.
Yeah. No further notes on that.
wrap that in a bow.
So let's talk about more camper deaths. Jesus. Now, even though Lindsay has barbecue sauce all over her face, Andy still wants to make out with her. But they got to go somewhere else because Katie's nearby. So they go on the boat.
Holding the rib. I love.
Yeah.
It's just barbecue sauce.
But it's like all over her face.
It gets more and more every time you look at her. Mm-hmm. It's more around her mouth.
So yeah, the first time I watched this, I always assumed that it was like she was trying to be sexy. And then in this watch, it seemed like she was testing him to see how gross she could be. And he would still want to make out with her.
Oh, I think it's that she's just unaware that it's that much all over her face.
And then a beat later, he does say something like, "You taste like burgers."
Yeah.
I'm not into it anymore. You taste like burgers. So they get in. There's like a lot of water sports at this camp, apparently. There's like water skiing and the kid goes under.
Yeah. And then another kid. It
cuts to other kid waiting in the boat. Can I go now? So we get, and I think it's the same shot.
The kid gets tossed
out of the van.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we got another.
And I think it's the same van that Victor crashed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The Coop and Katie have a moment.
Yeah.
Katie gives Coop her sweatshirt. Coop gives Katie his flannel. But then Katie gives Coop the flannel back over the sweatshirt. He goes,
"That's my favorite shirt. So I'm going to need you to give it back."
Oh, right now?
Yeah, right now.
what are we doing? And
yeah.
And then we get the make out.
And then they make out with like a goat circling them. But Katie's back with Andy, ultimately.
He's chiseled. Mm-hmm. You know, he's chiseled like a, like, you know, from, like from stone.
I'm 16 and at this point my priority is sex.
with him and not you specifically. Not you.
But you're really sweet. Everyone thinks so.
At dinner time, we get the cap off to the Ben and McKinley subplot where JJ and Gary say, "Ben and McKinley, this one's for you," as if they're going to like bully them, harass them. But it's a wedding gift.
Yeah. We kept the receipt. Yeah, we kept the receipt in case you didn't. Yeah.
It's this huge, huge crate and barrel package that they wheel into the mess hall.
Yeah.
It's like, it's a chaise lounge.
What's a chaise lounge?
Chaise lounge? It's like, you know, like a... It's kind of an outdoor chair you'd see at a pool where you're like, you know, usually it's made out of either like plastic or something.
Oh,
wow. And you kind of like, you lay back on it and it has multiple.
Yeah.
You know, I know that chair. I didn't know the name. Chaise Lounge.
It's French.
Nice.
I like to bring culture to the podcast.
During like one of the Gene and Gary head chef gags. Gary ends it like offhand, grabs a can of peas and says, "You better talk to him." Which is funny on its own, but then it goes further because now the can of peas does indeed talk to Gene.
Right.
Voiced by none other than H. John Benjamin.
That's right.
AKA Archer or Bob Belcher.
But before he was Archer and before he was Bob, he was a can of peas.
And before he was a can of peas, according to Netflix, he was the camp director.
Yes.
Yeah, that's his backstory. I love that.
I love that, actually.
Yeah, more story.
In the 10 Years Later series, he climbs a mountain.
as the peas?
Yeah. That was like one of the few sequences that made me laugh out loud upon rewatch. Like my third rewatch, I think. But yeah, the can of peas is going to say, listen, you're into stuff. Be into it.
Be honest.
Yeah. Gene decides to make a big last day camp speech to all the campers. And he ends it saying he's going to go hump a fridge. And they laugh and he says, no, that's right. I'm going to hump a fridge. This is who I am. Look at me, mommy. Mommy, I made it. That's a reference to Sally Fields, I think, to her Oscar acceptance speech. No.
No.
That's the you love me really.
Yeah.
What's the mommy, I made it?
I don't know.
That's probably something.
It did seem like a reference, but I did not know to what.
Yeah.
Felt very Shawshank, but I'm not sure about that. You know?
That makes sense to me.
The Shawshank Redemption?
Yeah.
Mommy, I made it?
I don't know why.
It's also just a great piece of acting. You know, is it not the guy from Dirty Jobs? Isn't it the same guy?
Mike Rowe? No, it's the guy from SVU.
Oh, from SVU.
And Oz and... Yeah.
Well, I'm wrong about that. But also, it was a good piece of acting. I really like his, you know, he gets the comedy notes, but also, like, that's kind of a serious, kind of dramatic speech.
Mm-hmm.
And then it ends with Gary wheeling out a fridge that he then, like, mounts and humps.
As he wheels out. As he's wheeled away. And everyone cheers him on. Yeah.
Huge cheers, yeah.
Yeah, one of many just genuine, earnest cheers, applause from the whole camp.
Mm-hmm.
Katie tells Coop that it was a mistake.
Yeah.
And she's with Andy.
Yep.
And he confesses his love for her. And she declines his love.
But he's gonna be trained in the new way, according to Gene. So we get a training montage.
It's like a Karate Kid montage.
What he needs to be able to date Katie is to learn these dance moves and to run, and there's like a support group at one moment.
He's got a sweater on and he's smoking a cigarette, and there's a bunch of
that's the best thing is like when they go a step like too far into like the montage, or it's like when they went into town, it's a step too far. The support group is just like, huh?
But we do get at some point in the montage he's also changing his wardrobe, and I think the other part of a transformation.
Dressed like Gene.
He's just dressed like Gene. He has a crop top on and a headband. His hair is different.
Mm-hmm.
We got to talk about this song though. Taking it higher and
Show
higher.
Show me the feet.
What's it called?
Higher
and Higher.
It's called Higher and Higher. It is the best. It's the most iconic original track from the whole movie for sure.
Yeah.
And I think they reprise it in one or both of the sequels.
Oh no, yeah, in the first one they have the whole thing of the Chris Pine character like wrote that song and it was the greatest song ever, and that's what stopped the whole thing from happening.
Yes.
To Camp Tiger Claw was going to kill him and the Ronald Reagan was involved.
Yeah.
But that was the first day of camp. On the last day of camp, a piece of NASA Skylab was going to fall on the camp. According to the astrophysics professor and his group of indoor kids. Meanwhile, the raft of campers is just like suspended there, like right in front of a waterfall, just like suspended in midstream.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, while they usher Victor back to save them because he's the only one that can.
Mm-hmm.
And he had gotten back to camp just harried and bloodied. and he was are we skipping ahead?
No.
He's like desperately trying to get to Abby, and right. she's already forgotten his name. She's
making out with a kid.
With the kid that later lights his farts on fire for the talent show.
Yeah, and that's his talent.
And you see this little cut scene with her and Elizabeth and Banks. And they're just like, yeah, okay, yeah, I got it. She's so excited.
That's fart guy.
So yeah, Victor saves the day. We see it all just with a shot right on Joe Latrulia's face because they're not going to shoot that sequence.
Yeah.
I also liked, you see a shot of the kids in the raft and like, they must have been sitting there for such a long time, and there's like a spotlight on them, and they're just like laughing. They're not really, they've totally broken at this
some
point.
Some are laughing, yeah. some are yelling out. Yeah.
Yeah, they're a little out of the scene, but it doesn't matter. You still get to.
Like the really random scene, just like the really random acting of Beth and Neil, like just going crazy.
Oh, we gotta find the phone.
We gotta find the phone.
And they just where destroy the health phone? Room. Yeah.
Yeah, what I wrote down there is like, there's just like these wild swings in genre where all of a sudden you're in the middle of like a hard, like some kind of thriller. Mm-hmm. And just like these swings in pacing that they'll do, or like, obviously we know there's a lot of time warping going on in the movie, but like.
Yeah, we didn't even talk about that chase between Victor and Neil.
Neil's
on a motorcycle, but Victor's on foot, but Neil still can't catch him.
He's reaching out for him.
Yeah.
And then
the bale of hay.
Yeah, gets the hay bale, and he's
a single bale of hay in the middle of the road.
He's flabbergasted.
Really stops Victor, but then slow mo hops over a single bale of hay. But then the motorcycle can't do it. just complete nonsense that I used to think was the absolute funniest shit ever. Like, this shaped a lot of my early sense of humor.
Likewise,
and some other things. Like, this movie made me have a crush on Katie.
That's fair.
You know?
I feel like I still have a crush on Katie.
A little Katie Finnerty, you know? That's her name, right?
Is that her name in the movie?
I think so.
Oh, so she's probably not Jewish.
No, I don't think she is. Because in the prequel, her whole thing is she's a rich kid.
Oh, that's
her
right.
Dad's vacation with the guy from Tiger Claw.
Well, when Coop calls his mom...
Yeah, I love
dad, his parents really want her to be Jewish.
And yeah, right, is she Jewish? She kind of has a big nose.
Yeah, that's all we get.
But who knows?
He's just wishful thinking.
Yeah. I forget what I was going to say. The talent show hosted by, what's this guy's name? Alan Shepard. Michael Showalter. We think it's Coop.
Yeah.
And he's just doing these jokes about how he's so old, like when he went to camp, it was the Stone Age.
Yeah.
But it's absolutely killing. Everyone's
Yeah, the jokes
laughing.
Are really like bad, but the audience is like going for it. Mm-hmm. JJ is just like busting a gut.
Yeah.
Only you just saying it right now made me realize that like when we see Michael Showalter's Coop come in the door, mm-hmm. we're supposed to then realize that that's actually not him on stage,
right.
And it's actually Alan Shepard.
Wait, you didn't get that?
I just like never. I just thought, oh, it's like a costume change. Or I don't know. Like it's supposed to just be a different guy.
So the joke is that that's actually that they actually got that guy, and they fucking love him.
I don't know why that never sunk in for me.
When we had like. Performers come from outside of camp, they could be like the most mediocre performers and we loved it.
Yeah, we remember all of their names.
Sheldon Lowe,
Steve Max.
Oh, he was legitimately talented.
He took a chair and he balanced that chair on his chin. That was mm-hmm. cool. And then a little bit later in his show as the finale, he took a little girl, put the little girl on the chair, and then balanced the chair with the girl on his chin.
Like Ooh. A beach chair.
That was his whole thing.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, no, his whole thing was Simon Says.
he was a professional Simon Says caller. That's what he called himself.
He led these giant games of Simon Says.
Interesting.
I wanted to win that so badly.
So this is how they kept us entertained.
So we keep cutting to like dumb camp towns, like Roger the Broom Balancer, which is like the kinds of dumb shit we would do.
And
we
sometimes
would try to balance brooms.
And sometimes they would let us on stage to do it.
Mm-hmm. Ron shows up, played by Judah Friedlander. This is Gail's ex.
Yeah.
Gotta get used to saying ex-husband. but thanks to that little camper's help.
She's strong enough.
She stays strong, yeah.
Yeah. Turns him down. Declines him.
And then the next day we learn that they're engaged to be married. Gail and the camper.
Mm-hmm.
That is.
Yeah.
So that's fun.
You saw it coming. Right before the cut, he like strokes her hair.
Yeah. Apparently he was supposed to kiss her.
Oh, they cut it.
No, the actor wasn't comfortable or something. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I'm okay with less.
Yeah, no, I think the hair behind the ears better.
Yeah.
It's funnier. It's more specific.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a supportive guy.
Meanwhile, the indoor kids are hard at work.
Yep, the
typing away
and dragons die.
Yeah,
is gonna
throwing
help
the die. Yeah,
like the Skylab. What did they call it? The device they made.
Well, they've created some kind of a device to first measure where this Skylab piece is going to fall, mm-hmm. and David Hyde Pierce already knew. The physicist knew that it was going to fall on the camp somewhere, didn't know exactly where. So they create this jerry-rigged thing that has like donuts sticking out of
spam,
it and a spam can and a colander
antenna,
as the antenna. And it's just, I mean, it looks like a ramshackle nothing, but they're using it to track the exact coordinates of this piece of satellite. And then for some reason they figure out, oh, they can use the same thing to redirect the asteroid or the meteor? I guess the meteor. No, it's just the satellite. I'm tired.
Okay. We already talked about Susie disowning the performance. But it's actually like a really good performance that the like the,
really
the singing's
good.
Amazing and the
audience
gets
into
so
it
into it right
claps.
Until the very end where it ends. And this would be Susie's fault because it's part of the production. Where it ends with just an illuminated cross, so they all just start shouting, boo!
Yeah.
Yeah, the Jewish summer camp didn't approve.
Yep. And then the last act of the talent show being the weird robot kid who...
makes the wind blow.
Makes the wind blow and averts Skylab.
Mm-hmm.
Or was it the Dungeons and Dragons random number generating die that the indoor kids use?
Mm-hmm. Either way, the crowd goes crazy for Steve, and now he went from having no friends to having all the friends on the last day.
Also, Coop came back and won over Katie, gave her a little gift.
He's confident.
But it's actually like the whole flannel sweatshirt stuffed into a tiny box. Some good comedy there. Next day at camp, Katie's going to still go home with Andy, though.
Yeah.
And like... the movie ends with like Coop and Beth walking off, and
well, I do like this moment we get with the wrap up with Beth and the David Hyde Pierce physicist, mm-hmm. where
she's pregnant.
They're gonna move into an apartment in Florida together because he's been hired away by NASA because of this heroic act of a science he performs mm-hmm. the previous day, and he runs onto screen with this. With this big trophy, he somehow won this award,
the Johns Hopkins Prize,
something like that, and he doesn't need tenure anymore because he's going to Florida, and Beth's coming too, and Beth's pregnant, and
the next day she's pregnant, right?
Yeah, another time warp.
I think, as I said, this is a movie. I didn't want to I started the podcast off. Being coy, but
what if it's a film? Like, what if it's actually saying something? You know what I mean? Like, what if, you know, by setting his farts on fire? I don't know where I'm going.
I mean, that's commentary on something,
right?
Commentary on the, you know, being the liberation of summer camp. It's something that a place where you can be free to set your farts on fire.
Yeah.
So you agree that it's a movie then? Because I know you didn't want to say it for some reason.
No, yeah. I just didn't want to say it so early in the podcast, but yeah.
You are staying true to form.
Yes, thank you.
Holding down the fort.
Mm-hmm.
Danny, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Do you have anything to plug?
Plug it up.
I sure don't. Okay. I agree this is a movie, and it was a pleasure watching this movie again with you. Yeah. And I don't know how many times we've watched this together, but certainly it's the first that Terrell and I have watched this together. And
yeah.
As you know, even though I've seen it and I've seen the jokes, I found myself just kind of losing it on more than one occasion.
Yeah.
And this it's fun to debrief too. So thanks for having me.
You can not you, Danny, though you can also if you want go to at Movie Film Pod on the socials to interact with us, to engage, or email us moviefilmpod@gmail.com. Of course, make sure to check out patreon.com/moviefilmpod for just $2 a month. You can get 4 episodes a month of The Rundown. Of course, Danny, you are on this week's episode where we talk about every movie we watched that week and say if it's a movie or a film. So it's a lot of bang for your buck.
Yeah, check it out.
What are we doing next week? It's your choice. It's your pick. Not next week. 2 weeks from now.
It's gonna be episode 120. Until The Rundown.
You didn't pick one.
No, I didn't do it.
Oh, okay.
It's a surprise.
Yeah. Surprise.
So thank you, for listening to movie
film.